Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something. And we're broadcasting live from the Twin Cities Film Fest studio. So happy to cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I'm Ms. Shannon, of course, joined by my good friend and co-host, Jayton Satia. Hey, Jay. What is that?
I'm sleeping.
You're giving them a little precursor to our guest geek this week.
Yeah, this is the perfect timing for this guest to show up, too.
Yes.
Right before the film festival kicked into gear. Oh, my God.
Does your sleep pattern get very unregulated during the Twin Cities Film Fest, Jayton?
Unregulated meaning, like, no sleep? Sure.
Like, irregular, I guess, like, is a better word.
Yeah, sleeping doesn't exist in my language. And that's why I'm glad our guest is here to kind of help me process that.
I am glad that she is here as well, because I am a wonky sleeper and so is my son. So we have a lot of questions for our guest geek this week.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's the founder and CEO of Sleep Health Specialist. So Sarah Moe is going to join us. I'm excited about that too, Jayton, because I get to say words like polysomnography. I think I'm gonna have to ask her how to say that.
Did you actually just say that word?
I know, because that's what she studied, and so the fact that we have a polysomnography technologist.
Why don't you just leave it to the expert?
I'm going to. So we'll get to that in our next segment.
Although I do enjoy you saying
trying
that word.
It. Yeah, yeah. You just have
funny.
To pretend and just fake it till you make it.
Welcome to my life.
Exactly.
How do you think the festival happened?
I am very impressed, because we are in our ninth year of the Twin Cities Film Fest, right?
We are. I mean, that's a year away from being a decade, and I can definitely see that in my face.
Right. Can you? I remember you back when you first said that you're going to start this when we knew each other in college, and I'm like, you know, a lot of times if somebody told me they're going to start a film fest, I would go, whatever. But I'm like, you know what, Jayden's probably going to get this done, and now
you
you're still here.
You weren't the only one. Trust me, there's enough people that I know now who are good friends and just good colleagues, and, you know, tongue-in-cheek comments are like, good luck, kid. Was quite often.
Mm-hmm, but you got it together, and now you have one of the most, it's certainly not a con, but it's one of those things that definitely is in the conversation.
You know, one thing
all
that
the
I can definitely say is one of the more reputable festivals in the region. Mm-hmm. And in the region, I mean, obviously in the north, or however you want to identify Midwest now. And, you know, we're getting content that is typically reserved for your bigger cons,
right,
and Toronto's and all that. We're the second tier festival that comes down the pipeline. So after it premieres there, has a great review, then I work with the studios to show that content here and show the premiere. So I'm very, very lucky on that, and amazing programming team. And I was talking to my programming director about it yesterday, actually, and he said, hey, we have about 1,000 submissions this year.
Wow.
And do you remember when we used to watch all of them? And all of them back in year one was like 100. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm glad I'm not watching 1,000 films. I have an amazing team that does that for me as well. So.
And that has to be difficult. So when you are working with your team that's going to make the selections for the Twin Cities Film Fest, is it that you sit down and you go, here are our primary categories, and then you divvy them up amongst your team? Or how do you go through that process, Jayton?
Yeah, there's a couple of different, I guess, more or less silos. So shorts programming is a key component to our festival. So we definitely have a shorts programming team, about 3 to 4 individuals who watch all these films, grade them, and then they recommend their top tiered ones. The one, these are definitely ones that are in, versus these are no's, versus these are maybes, could you help with that? And then my second tier programming team takes over and kind of helps with the maybes. I'd definitely have a Minnesota series at our festival. We've always featured Minnesota local artists, or at least Minnesota connected artists, and we have a special team that just works on Minnesota content, and they're kind of, honestly, they're stalking filmmakers year long. They're stalking their film, their Facebook pages and their Instagram posts, and they're on top of it. And so I got that one. I work with the studios,
right,
but that happens in the summer. And our artistic director kind of works independent content from across the country. So he's got his ear on everything that is happening from all the different film festivals across the country, to any personal relationships we may have with filmmakers. So it's a good 9-month beast that kind of comes to a head in the next few weeks here. I mean, especially at the gala. Our gala is coming up in a few weeks.
And speaking of Minnesota ties, you have a fantastic guest that is going to be the premier guest of your Twin Cities Film Fest gala this year.
I'm super excited about this. I've been wanting this individual to come to our festival, not because he's originally from Minnesota, but he's just a talent that is just amazing. Literally, the breadth of work that he's done, over the past, I don't even know, 25, 30 years in the industry. It's just been amazing. And we made the announcement a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The actor Steve Zahn
dun, dun, dun,
will be our honored guest. We'll be giving him our Lifetime Achievement Award. And I know he feels he's only 50, but I know he feels he's not ready for a Lifetime Achievement Award. But too bad. He's
right.
getting one. He's getting one from us because he deserves it. And like I said, he's been in the industry for 30 years-ish.
And so it's going to be so fun. So to remind everybody who Steve Zahn is, because I think that he's had such a variety of work out there. And we like to claim him because he is a Minnesota
so
native.
We're going to go back and forth. I'm going to name a film, then you name a film, and then I name a film, and then you name a film.
All
just
right.
So people can get context on how we may have, where we may have seen him.
Okay, you go first, Jayden.
So I'll go Reality Bites.
Yes. And then I will do Riding in Cars with Boys.
More recently, he was in Captain Fantastic.
Yes, he was. I will actually go. Let's go to 2003 because I have some clips of him in Daddy Daycare.
Oh,
remember
yes.
he was in Daddy Daycare with Eddie Murphy and Jeff Garland, and he played kind of like the third daddy, we'll say, that's in that. So I have a clip of when he first came in, and they're actually kind of introducing to be a part of their little Daddy Daycare scenario.
But I'm not a daddy.
You don't have to be a daddy. You're a male-type humanoid, and that fits in with the philosophy of the whole place.
I don't know, guys. I mean, I guess I like hanging out with the kids. It's kind of cool. But I guess childcare wasn't necessarily an avenue that I felt professionally I was headed towards.
That's exactly what I said, Marvin.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Come
his
on
voice
in.
Is iconic.
Yes, and then one of the moms comes in, and Marvin's now in love.
Hey, guys. I am so sorry. I forgot to write you a check this week. Ever since the divorce, my has just been like...
Hey.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Are you the new daddy?
I'm your daddy. I'm not your daddy. Well, I'm your baby's daddy. I'm not your baby's daddy. I'm gonna be.
You're Marvin.
His delivery is just on point.
He's so cute in that
it's
one.
It's nice to meet you, Marvin.
He's such a great voice actor as well.
Yes, so there are so many of those things, like, you know.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Right. He was in three of those. He also did the voices for Chicken Little. He was in Escape from Planet of the Earth. He did
Joyride.
The voice on that, yes. And, you know, just since we are a geek podcast, I do need to bring up this one.
We do have somebody who wants to chime in.
Sarah Moe, our guest geek. What you have a Steve Zahn moment?
That thing you do.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. We appreciate it. So I'm glad that you're awake for this segment, Sarah. We appreciate that. Can I just, from a geek perspective, play one more clip from Daddy Daycare for you? Because there's one where Steve Zahn is talking to a little kid who's dressed up as the Flash, and it's one of my favorite moments in the whole world. So we have this one.
Yeah. We're chasing bad guys.
Excellent idea.
We can chase Joker.
Well, wait a second, buddy. That's Batman's bad guy. You're the Flash. So you want to be chasing...
Lex Luthor?
No, that's Superman. You want to be chasing Captain Boomerang, Gorilla Grodd, Reverse Flash.
The Riddler?
What have you been doing to these kids?
He's so cute. And it's fun to do that. Fun fact, so the little kid who was dressed up as the Flash in Daddy Daycare is a young actor named Jimmy Bennett, who's like 22 now. But not only did he do Daddy Daycare, but then we can flash forward to the rest of his career because he's still acting.
Is
he's still
Flash
doing stuff.
Now?
No, you know who he is, though? He did play, and this was back in the day. So in like 2000, he was in the 2009 reboot of Star Trek. He played young Kirk in that
he
one.
Did.
Yeah, so the Flash grew up and became young Kirk. And
that
so
was
that's when he was
when
like
he
13.
Was like driving
that
car or whatever.
Yes, so the one where like he's like driving the convertible and then drives off the cliff.
Yeah, and the cop is chasing him. And
yes.
Yeah.
So still very Flash-like.
Right. Well, he was fast then.
Yes.
So Steve will be here. I don't know if people know, but he was born in Marshall, Minnesota.
Yes, and went to Gustavus Davis. I can't
Gustav
talk today.
Davis, yeah.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And his parents still live here, so we're super excited. He's going to be here, and you are going to be at the gala as well.
Thank you. I'm excited
you're
to do that.
You're our honored MC. You're basically going to run the whole show. This is your second year. What made you come back? Come on, man.
Because you're my friend, and I enjoy this so much. And you know me. If you ask me to do something, Jayden, I'm like, okay, it's Jayden. I'm going to do it.
You know what? That's I don't think there's ever been a time where Shannon hasn't said yes. I mean, I should probably take more advantage of that. But I don't because I'm a good friend.
Yes, you are fantastic.
And I would hope I reciprocate in the same way.
You know, I appreciate you all the time. You've been fantastic, and that's why we're still hanging out after all this time.
I love it.
So Steve is going to be really fun. We're going to sit down, and we're going to do an evening with Steve Zahn. And, you know, if you've ever seen any of his other interviews, you just know that he is so talented because he can do the comedies, he can do rom-coms, he can do, you know, just a broad spectrum of things. And I always find him so charming in so many of the roles he did. Because do you guys remember the movie Management that he did with Jennifer Aniston?
I think so.
Yeah,
you
know,
I need to go back into my memory data bank.
Yeah, and so he's done like these movies that we've all heard of, and then like come some of these like smaller ones. But you really get to see his personality, and he's so excellent at playing like that guy that you want to have on your side. So if we do like the final scene from The Management, this really gives you an idea. And I had to leave like a little bit of the cheesy soundtrack music in because it really sets the tone for what's going on. I told you, cheesy soundtrack.
Hi.
He shows up at our house.
Hi.
He comes to see Jennifer Aniston. She's pregnant.
So far, so good.
Are you okay?
I'm really sorry, Mike.
Why? But you were right. I was like a kid.
Don't you just want him on your side? You just want to hug him.
To the motel.
If he gives me an opportunity, I might.
I want to turn it into a homeless shelter with midnight basketball. I already bought the soup noodles.
Now here comes one of my favorite lines of a movie ever.
I was actually hoping that you might want to help.
She gets verklempt.
Just like you are right
now. I know.
I really love you, Sue. And I want to take care of you and whoever it is that's inside of you. All I want is to be with you.
Melting.
That's it.
That part is what gets me every time. Breathe, so. I was like, yes, Steve Zahn, please tell me to keep breathing.
Don't you want that guy to just be around you all the time and just to calm you down and just to, even as a friend. Like,
yes.
I just want that friend to be like, Jaden, just breathe.
Right, you had a rough day.
It's okay. I mean, I do have a friend like that, and it's Bill Cooper. But I can see it where a Steve Zahn could come in and basically diffuse any situation just with his voice and his calmness. And here's the key thing for me. Every single thing that he does, whether it be the thing you do or playing the newest ape on War of the Planets,
yes.
The ape, I mean, he's genuine and you believe his character.
Right.
He literally morphs into that character and you think beyond his face on the screen. You think about, I tend to reflect to my life. It's like, who's that person in my life that I could say that's my person,
right?
That is talking to me through the camera. So
well, one of the things that I hope that does get brought up when he's at the Twin Cities Film Fest Gala that's coming up on September 6th, he has done a number of interviews that he talks about his experiences playing the Bad Ape in War of the Planet of the Apes and hanging out with Andy Serkis and hanging out with Woody Harrelson. And so, you know, when we go back to discussing Steve Zahn and how broad his talent is and how many different parts he's been able to play, like when you hear him play that character and then hear him really talk about what it was like to get into that character, you really learn a lot about him. So I hope we get to ask more of those questions, because we'll remind everybody what he did sound like when he was talking as the Bad Ape in War of the Planet of the Apes.
Home. Oh, old home.
Are there more apes from zoo?
Dead. All dead.
Human.
Get sick. Ape. get smart, then human kill ape, but not me. I run.
And so you just to have him explain, you know, what it was like to go through that process has got to be amazing. Because we've gotten some little tidbits. Like, I saw him when he was on Good Morning America, yeah. And so he talked about that. And so just him going, wow, here's what it was like to be in that film and to try and get into that character.
You know, it's the hardest, physically the hardest job I ever did. It's motion capture. When there's this idea, like I went into it, I was naive. I thought, oh, I'm going to act in a little room with, with a tennis ball and we're not going to be on the mountain and whatever. When you're doing motion capture, you're shooting, you have to be an ape. They can make you look like an ape, but they can't make you be one. So
how do you do method for ape?
Yeah.
I would for 2 weeks I worked out with Terry Notary, who plays Rocket, who's kind of our coach on set, and it was exhausting. I'd go back to my apartment and I watched YouTube videos of chimps at a zoo, and I was fascinated with the little guy in the corner that didn't do anything, and like how is that different to, it's like us sitting there, but we posture and we look. We turn and they're just to get that to be second nature was difficult, and then to play a character, which
what else do you want to hear him tell us at the Twin Cities Film Fest Gala?
I definitely want him to refer back to his days when he was in Minnesota and mm-hmm. when he got his start and where he got his training, and he currently lives in Kentucky, and I know his parents live here. I want to bring that back to the fact that, again, beyond his talent, the fact that we have amazing artists that are here in Minnesota that are making a truly great impact in the world of entertainment, obviously beyond that as well. I definitely want to have him talk about that, and I think that that's something that he would be very much interested in talking about. When we did this with Leah Thompson
right.
a couple of years ago when we gave her our Lifetime Achievement Award, we expected her to talk for maybe 3 or 4 minutes. It wasn't like a conversation like we're going to have with Steve. It was
right.
more like, here's the mic and go ahead and say whatever you want, and they were like, well, how long? I'm like, well, it's up to you. You tell me how long
right.
you want to talk to and we'll give you the appropriate time. And her sister, who's also her manager, Colleen, said, 5 minutes or so. I'm like, great.
Right.
So we allocated 5 minutes. Leah talked for 25 minutes. Because she got so comfortable because
right.
she, majority of that 25 minutes was how she got her start in Minnesota.
Wow.
And that was the most humbling thing for all the audiences to be part of. And again, we didn't care about time at that point. We're like,
right.
let's just go. This is awesome.
It's Leah Thompson
so
telling
hoping,
us everything.
Hoping we can, again, Jason Matheson from iTalk 107 and Fox 9. Will be our host on stage. So think about inside of the actor studio,
right.
James Lipton kind of a show where it's just them two on single couches just having a conversation.
And if anybody needs to get to go know Jason Matheson, his show, The Jason Show, is available on Hulu as well now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, congratulations to
mm-hmm.
him. So I think he's a great moderator. I think he will basically give Steve the appropriate the rope that he needs to go. And then,
right.
I'm just super excited. I've been wanting to get Steve here for at least 6 years now.
Right.
I've been a good friend of his managers, and this is true. And I'll mention this at the gala if you are able to attend. But every single year for the last 6 years that I've asked to get Steve's on at our gala, he has booked a gig.
Oh,
so now,
which I'm glad he's working.
To the liking of his manager, who then it became a running joke because after the year number 3, she was like, "Are you going to ask again?" I'm like, "Well, of course I'm going to ask him. Why do you want me to ask again so bad?" She was like, "Because he literally books a gig every time you ask him." I'm like,
"So you were like, good luck for him, but bad
yeah.
luck for the gala." Got it.
But I'm like, "But you got to pursue it." So I asked mm-hmm. again this year, and he was more than gracious to say yes.
And that's wonderful, because unfortunately, his most recent venture, the show The Crossing, was not renewed for another season. I kind of liked that show. It was a little wonky, and
Yeah, didn't he play like a cop? He played a cop.
He played, yeah. So he was like the town sheriff, you know, kind of thing. And it was that sci-fi, timey-wimey hybrid that I think got a little convoluted.
Correct.
It was one of those things that I liked the story, but you really had to... It was made by the people that made Lost, so they were like, hey, you know.
Throw a whole bunch of things in and not explain them. And then,
right, and then just expect us to stay along. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you really liked Steve Zahn's character, but I think that was part of the problem with the show is that you liked him but didn't necessarily like anybody else enough to keep watching the show.
We'll talk about it. Maybe that'll come up. Maybe that won't come up.
Right.
And we'll definitely talk about his future projects as well, because just because you're getting a Lifetime Achievement Award doesn't mean your career's over.
Right.
For us, it's just saying thank you.
Well,
so
as
we're excited about that.
And you can get all that information if you want more information about the Twin Cities Film Fest preview gala that's coming up on September 6th. Just go to TwinCitiesFilmFest.org.
Yeah.
And speaking of talking to people, before we go to break, why don't you remind everybody who our guest geek is this week?
Yeah, this individual I've met on a couple different events, couple different occasions, and every time I meet with her, I'm just more fascinated by her and her story and her dedication to her craft. Beyond that, she's just a great human being, and you and I always just are attracted to just good people.
Definitely.
So we just definitely wanted to have a good person come on board again for our podcast, and she said yes. And and what's fascinating about her, and that's the one thing that I would, you know, I'm kind of hesitant to get into this conversation because I'm a horrible sleeper, and I know that she will have a lot of things to tell me that I'm doing wrong, and we'll get into that a little bit. But she's a sleep expert.
Yes.
And I didn't think there. I mean, I've never talked to a sleep expert, so I'm curious. Hopefully, this doesn't ruin our friendship. But I'm excited. I'm excited to have Sarah on the show today. So.
Perfect. And we will be right back with our guest geek of the week, Sarah Mo, founder and CEO of Sleep Health Experts. Sleep Health Specialist. And we'll be right back on Be Our Geek. Welcome back to Be Our Geek, broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios. I'm Ms. Shannon. Jayton Satia is here. And Jayton, it is now time to bring to the microphone this week's guest geek, Sarah Mo, founder and CEO of Sleep Health Specialists. And Sarah, I found a very appropriate, cheesy introduction song for you. Are you ready for that, Ms. Mo?
Always.
All right, here we go. Everybody, sing along in your car.
Or wherever you're listening to the podcast. I love it. Is this appropriate?
Insomnia.
So, I mean, so Sarah, when you are talking to people and you go, hey, what's your job? And people go, well, you know, and you have to explain to them that you are a sleep expert. And help me with this. So you do sleep studies. So that's
polysomnography.
And so how do you decide that you are going to be involved in this field? How did you get started, Sarah?
So I actually thought I was going to be a nurse
as
I was growing up. I always loved the idea of working in a medical field where I could help people in that capacity.
Right.
But turns out Sarah's pretty terrified of blood.
Oh.
So that lasted about a day.
So not a phlebotomist.
None of that.
Okay.
So I ended up looking into other medical fields where I didn't have to deal with blood
and
where I could work at night because I've always kind of been a night owl. So I literally stumbled into sleep medicine.
Okay.
I had a interview with a college counselor and they said, you know, have you ever heard of this? And I said, no, have you? What's sleep medicine?
You're just making this up right now?
She said, well, we have this program. It's called polysomnography, where your job will be to do sleep studies for patients overnight and diagnose sleep disorders.
Okay.
And I was instantly fascinated.
So you got to stay awake when people were sleeping?
Yes, we are hypocritical people. We
sacrifice
for the greater good.
Yes.
So I took a class. It was called the Intro to Sleep and Rest.
Okay.
And after about 10 seconds, I knew that was going to be my life.
You just felt the spark.
It was the most fascinating and underrated thing I had ever learned about.
Now, sleep. Not only do you continue your studies, but you're actually a professor of this now.
Correct, yes. I've spent years teaching polysomnography, sleep medicine.
Do you teach people how to sleep?
I do that as well. So my company, Sleep Health Specialists, I actually do corporate sleep education. So I go into companies and teach classes for employees on sleep. And it's
to make them more efficient, to make them better,
more productive, and actually ultimately healthier and happier is our real goal. Because tired people, man, they suffer
yes,
a lot.
And sometimes you probably don't even know how much it affects you.
Well, that's the sad thing, is very few of us have received any kind of sleep education throughout our lives.
Right.
In all of my classes, I ask people to raise their hands if they've ever had a Phi-Ed class in school. And everybody raises their hand. And I say, raise your hand if you had any education on nutrition or the food groups or,
right,
you know, a home ec. Everybody raises their hand. And I ask, raise your hand if you've ever had a sleep class. And all the hands go down every
right
single time. You don't get educated on that other third of your life. And we sleep a third of our lives. And we don't know what it means or how to do it.
But how hard is it? It's just sleeping, right? I mean, it's you just lay down and you just, like, go to sleep when you're sleepy.
That's it. There's definitely not over 100 classified sleep disorders on the books.
Wow, that many. Because I thought one of the interesting things in your bio is that you are on the board of directors of the Minnesota Sleep Society. That sounds like the Illuminati. I was like,
we are that cool.
Yeah.
A secret handshake.
Right.
Yes. No, so there's actually interesting, as far as sleep medicine goes, it's a newer field for medical fields. We can say the majority of the research that we've gotten has probably happened in the last 30 years,
okay,
at best. And even these last 10 years have been explosive. Since I've started over 12 years ago, things are so different and so much more advanced. That being said, it's young. It's a young medical field, so a lot of people just don't know that it's an existing thing. So the Minnesota Sleep Society, there's actually a lot of sleep societies in a lot of different states, and even across the country we have a pretty large presence as medical professionals. But to put it into context, my board number is 12774.
Okay.
So I'm 12,774 of an existing about 22,000 people.
Jeez,
with my credentials.
Okay.
So to put that into perspective, of the 22,000 RPSGTs, there are over 100,000 registered nurses in Minnesota alone.
Okay.
Wow.
So the RPSGT credential is very small when you think about it globally.
Which is very interesting because, you know, yeah, we're going, okay, this is amusing that we're doing that. But you are terrible at some of these things, and you don't know that you can go and talk to somebody and get help. I think you usually hear about it if you go, oh, I have sleep apnea. I feel like I'm dying a little bit every
correct
time I go
correct
to sleep.
Or insomnia. Yeah, any kind of
insomnia. Or insomnia.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of different sleep disorders. And the real problem is that it is actually causing physical and mental deterioration very quickly in people. But because of that lack of education, they don't realize that something that they could be looking at as a base level of why things are going wrong physically
right
and mentally is because of poor sleep.
Okay.
You're not told that, hey, if you're not sleeping properly, your cells aren't able to heal or any part. So we have a lot of existing diseases and medical issues that are existing because of an underlying sleep issue that just aren't getting diagnosed.
So let's break it down for it. We'll do a kid's perspective, and
yep
then we can do an adult perspective.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because in my particular scenario, I dabbled,
yep,
but that's because I have a son who happens to be autistic,
mm-hmm,
and they are terrible sleepers.
Correct.
And I'm not a great sleeper either, so I feel like I just infected him with my terrible sleeping.
This is not true. This
okay
is not your fault.
All right, thank you. All right.
Yes, there are some inherited behaviors or even traits that can be passed down that are associated with poor sleep, but ultimately, especially with the autistic factor, it's a very sad truth that population does suffer from sleep disorders in a more prevalent way than the rest of the society.
Right.
When you say, though, that you do have sleep issues or that you are a terrible sleeper, it's almost something that people have just kind of either gotten used to or
right
accepted that is the case. But we now have sleep studies, and
yes,
we have a way to figure out why you're a terrible sleeper or what's actually wrong.
Okay.
So that's something else that's kind of a missing link where people don't realize it's not how it's supposed to be.
Okay. Because you do kind of just power through it and go, well, I'm a wonky sleeper,
right,
and that's just how things
correct
will
which
continue.
Is, which is a very detrimental mindset, especially here in America. It's an American issue. Other countries are way ahead of the game when it comes to taking care of not only their sleep, but their family sleep, their employees sleep, their teams. Everybody is going to be better at everything when their sleep is taken care of.
Well,
and
Sarah,
we don't work that way.
Is that one of the key storylines that you like to get out there? Is that sleep is more important than we normally give it credit for?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's incredibly underrated, under-respected, unappreciated, and it's sad because none of us can say that we're happier or that we're better when we're tired.
Right.
I mean, it's you. every single aspect of your well-being is either positively or negatively impacted.
So
by
beyond
your sleep.
Beyond controlling the quantity of sleep that you're getting, so 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 18 hours, whatever, or two
right.
hours in my case,
right.
the quality. How do you control, and or how is that something that is consciously controlled? The quality of the sleep that you're getting.
Yes and no. So the quantity is important. Most of us need 8 hours.
Okay.
Most of us don't get 8 hours. The majority of us say, oh, I function fine on six.
Six.
Mm-hmm. And yes, you probably will adapt and function fine. But unfortunately, you are doing physical damage to your body at that point.
Got it.
So that being said, we should all be shooting for 8 hours of sleep. But yes, that's just quantity. Quality is vital as well. So if you're having interrupted sleep for whatever reason, whether it be you have sleep apnea and you continue to wake up to take a breath or mm-hmm. to receive oxygen, or whether it be that you just have really bad sleep habits and you don't know it, so you're impacting the quality of your sleep, pretty much everything has a solution now,
okay.
which is amazing. So
like a new mattress. Like if you need a better mattress.
You know, there's
a
small
pillow.
Percent of the population that actually will correct their sleep from a more comfortable sleep setting. But the majority of us do actually just suffer from bad sleep habits, mainly two. The first
okay.
light, first one being blue light exposure. We are all exposed to blue light all day, every day, and it's
right.
so detrimental to our sleep.
So do you mean my cell phone, the yes. tablets?
Cell phones, tablets, mm-hmm. TVs, laptops, everything. And we get exposed all day, every day. So it's really important to understand.
Welcome to the future.
Yes, but the future's going to kill you.
We kind of knew that. It was going to be the future or a robot, Sarah. We knew that.
Yeah, but the blue,
so blue light
is
one.
It's the major one. It's a different frequency than sunlight. It's actually a much faster frequency. So it's not only telling your brain that you shouldn't be falling asleep, it's also continuing to wake it up throughout the night because that presence is still in your neurological system. So I highly recommend removing blue light from your bedtime situation 1 hour prior to trying to fall asleep.
Okay.
It sounds impossible.
It does. It sounds,
it sounds
so, like
so silly.
As I have developed into even, you know, because I'm a book reader girl.
Right.
But now I read books on my tablet.
Go back to the paper if you want to sleep.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to work on
you
that.
You know what? Try it for a week.
Okay.
If you remove blue light from bedtime for 1 hour, I promise you're going to sleep better after a few days.
Okay.
And once you start getting great sleep, it's really hard to go back.
All right. I'll try that first.
Okay.
Because I am addicted to my blue lights at night.
We all are. But you can do anything for a week.
I watch movies for a living.
Tell
me not to watch something
no,
that's on
do it
blue
before
light.
Bedtime. Wake up and do it. Expose yourself then, and then you'll perk yourself up.
Okay.
Fair
good.
Enough.
Yes.
All right.
And the second one is caffeine intake. This is not a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I drink an iced vanilla latte every single morning.
Yes.
That being said, it's important to know how caffeine works. It is not necessarily just a form of energy that we consume. It actually blocks the release of adenosine, which is a hormone that helps us fall asleep. So if you have caffeine present in your system and you're attempting to fall asleep, it's not going to let you, even hormonally. So that's where people confuse, oh, I go to sleep, but my mind is racing. Usually it's either the presence of blue light or caffeine that's preventing you from falling asleep.
So I'm one of those individuals that I can have a cup of coffee and then watch TV and then literally pass out. You
that's
know?
Because you're sleep deprived. You're not supposed to be able to fall asleep in those conditions. And the fact that you are means you're not getting enough sleep.
So now you're talking like my wife.
Well, happy wife, happy life.
Right?
Yes.
But you know, for me, my big problem is like I'm a heavy sleeper. So once I hit the bed, within a minute, I'm out. And
that's indicative of a sleep disorder.
Sure.
Really?
And then...
That makes me feel better because my ex-husband was like that and it would make me so mad. I'm like, how do you do that?
It's not
yeah.
necessarily
it's not
a
skill that
thing.
I've built up.
Okay. It's not a good thing.
And then I am a light mover. I rarely move. I shift positions maybe once, maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in that position basically the time that I wake up in the morning. Yeah, so I thought that was a skill that I acquired.
No, it's not a skill.
So what does it mean if,
yeah.
if Jayden falls asleep like a dead log?
Yep.
What does that mean, Sarah?
It means you're probably sleep deprived. So
okay.
sleep debt is if you're getting less than 8 hours, each night that you get less than 8 hours, you accrue sleep debt, much like a credit card.
Okay.
And you have to pay that back. And if you don't, you fall further and further into sleep debt. And the things that happen then are you are able to.
I'm like decades behind.
You are. You're going to need a reset soon. A lot of times a good reset is when you get sick.
So what is it? Yeah, so tell me about it. So either an unconscious reset, like when you just get sick, or a conscious one. So how do you actively...
It's not unconscious when you get sick. You get sick because sleep deprivation induces...
So it's a cause of it.
It induces an actual suppression of your immune system.
Oh.
So your immune system becomes compromised as you get more and more sleep deprived. It's actually one of the first things that happen, and it's incredibly dangerous. The Center of Disease Control has just recently classified overnight sleep work as a carcinogen.
Oh,
as
really?
In something likely to cause cancer, because after one night of getting less than 6 hours of sleep, your cancer-fighting cells reduce by 70%.
Sorry. You're killing yourself slowly, Jake.
Oh, my God.
With your sleep
job is, I quit the festival.
No.
I just quit.
There's good news. We can fix it. We can help it. Just small shifts will help you maintain more healthy
so
sleep.
So, in that case, how are naps?
Naps are clutch for for every career. I'm sure you've heard the ideal nap time is 20 minutes. And the reason they say that is because if you sleep longer than 20 minutes, it's possible that you're going to cycle into REM. In REM sleep, that is a stage where your muscles become paralyzed so that you don't act out your dreams.
Okay.
And because of that muscle paralyzation, it causes incredible fatigue and grogginess.
Yes.
So a lot of times if you fall asleep and you take a quick nap and you wake up and you feel quote-unquote more tired than you did before, it's because you were probably in REM and you had that hormone secretion making you feel tired.
Because I'm one of those people that I'm like, I hate naps because I feel like I always feel worse. I feel like I have the worst night. Like, I don't always have nightmares, but if I'm going to have a bad dream, it's when I nap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm exhausted.
Well, the sad thing is that you probably did do some help in reducing your sleep debt by taking that nap.
Right.
But the after effects are going to be pretty intense.
Okay.
So that's why they say a 20-minute nap. But I always suggest naps as long as it's not interrupting consolidated sleep at night, because it is going to help you.
Can I take 5 naps in one day and just put it into 1 hour?
No.
How is your sleep pattern, Shannon?
Well, I'm the opposite. It's one of those, it takes me a while to fall asleep, and then I wake up very easily. And so, like, a leaf can blow, and I'll wake up. And so it's, you know, I'm more likely to wake back up and then be awake for a while.
Right. So, unfortunately, you should be able to fall back asleep naturally once you've had a spontaneous arousal. And if you don't, it's probably because of the presence of something like blue light or caffeine that's preventing you from being able to do that.
Because I'm not a big caffeine person, but I am addicted to my phone. Yeah. Like, I do try to power through and not touch it, but I do cheat all the time. I'm like, I'm up now.
Okay, so
I'm
for
read
no
a bunch
other
of stuff.
Reason... I want to tell you about this study that was recently done in England by a bunch of ninth graders.
Yes.
They had a group of seeds.
They got $5 million to do this study.
They didn't, but they probably have a bunch of money after what they did.
Okay.
They had two groups of seeds, and they put them in the exact same environments, including temperature, light, exposure, all of this. And they put them in separate rooms. But with one of the seeds, they put a cell phone under the plate, and the other seeds they didn't.
Okay.
And after a week, they took the seeds out of the exact same environments, and the group of seeds that was next to a cell phone didn't sprout. And the group of seeds that did.
That's why I'm not sprouting. I'm not sprouting.
That's just a bad bee. Gee, whatever. No, that's.
We can't be that resistant.
Well, I mean, okay, so when you talk about blue light exposure and you talked about cancer, you talked about sleep deprivation, obviously there's great correlation. So there's studies with technology adversely affecting our physical body.
Correct. And that being said, it's impossible for us to avoid it. We have it integrated into every aspect of our lives, our work, our home lives, our entertainment, everything. And that's okay. But the important thing is to know that if you have the ability to control it, you should.
Right.
Even right now, you know, we're in this beautiful studio with technology and electronics, and that's okay. This is a part of our work lives. But if you can say, okay, well, now I'm home, or now I'm in my sleeping space, and I can remove this, and I do have control over that, exercise those small behaviors.
So when you go into a corporate setting and you're talking to these employees, and maybe there's, you know, you're in their big conference room, and there's about 30, 40 people sitting there. Maybe they're executives, maybe they're just the entry level, you know, interns or whatever that is. How do you explain to them, like, get some sleep? But then the amount of workload that we're putting on our workforce right now, it is impossible for individuals to have that proper, first and foremost, work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about the third, right?
Yes.
The third is third of the day sleeping and, you know, whatever that is. Like, it at some point, something has to give.
Correct.
And something has to encroach upon something else.
So the good news is we are experiencing a current culture shift around sleep in the United States. That being said, the corporations that bring me in are usually well aware of the fact that sleep is important to their teams. So when I come in and I talk about sleep and I help people learn how to achieve restful sleep, they usually are the the companies that say we want this for our employees.
Are there certain industries that seem more at the forefront of that, Sarah?
Not at all. I work with everything from mom and pop shops to law firms to Fortune 500 companies.
Do you recommend like sleep pods at their offices?
Absolutely. I'm a huge advocate for workplace nap. And here's why. Naturally, our circadian rhythms dip from 1 to 3. People think, oh, I just ate and now I'm tired because I'm full. It's an innate thing in us for a lot of different reasons to be restful at that time. So from 1 to 3, all of us are tired. And yet we just finish our lunch breaks and we come back to work and are expected to be productive. It's ironic because if it wasn't frowned upon and we were allowed to just rest during that time, from 3 to 5, as we finished our workday, we could be so productive.
So that's where the other countries are headed.
Exactly.
Of us.
Right. There are actually napping laws in Japan.
Really?
Laws. If you don't nap at this time and we have meetings at this, they know, they see. So I'm a huge advocate for workplace napping, and I think it's starting to trend. It is something that we're seeing more and more. They've been doing it at Google for years.
I do that at the film festival 11 days. I'm just here 24/7.
So you just nap?
I just pass
wherever.
Out on my couch here at the office, and I'm just out. But again, I'm only getting 5 20-minute naps the entire 24 hours. So again, there's that concentrated time of my industry and my job that I can't.
I understand that, but can I ask, do you feel like you're showing up well?
No.
Okay. Do you think that the people who are going to be benefiting from your presence would benefit more if you were there for one less hour, but one more hour rested?
So can we go back talking to about
He can't handle the truth. He can't handle the truth, Sarah.
To answer your question, yes, they'd be better off if I was rested.
Everybody would be.
Rested and showered. I've been with you a lot of times at these film fests. I'm like, stop sleeping at your desk. Go home, take a nap, have a shower, come back. You smell like coffee.
Smell like coffee. I also have a 4-year-old, and my wife's the opposite sleep pattern as I am. So she's typically no blue light in front of her for at least an hour, if not 2 hours beforehand. Our kiddo, of course, just goes to bed at like 7, 8 p.m., but again, he's very restricted on what he can see and watch, and that's typically during the daytime as opposed to the evenings. But my wife, if she was here, and this is kind of that where partners come into play, right, where I am a heavy sleeper and I'm out. I don't care if the light is on because I'm just out. She is in an environment where it needs to be pitch black.
Like
even a sliver of a light shining through the bottom of the door wakes her up. And for me, I'm just kind of like, are you serious? Like, I literally just opened the door to go to the bathroom.
Right.
How do you work with your – so if you're living with a partner and they have a different pattern as you, that's difficult. So
I always suggest separate bedrooms.
Wow.
And here's why.
Okay. I agree. That probably would have saved my marriage.
Una, are you listening to this?
there's a reason. A lot of times, and this isn't uncommon. In fact, this used to be the case. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that it's not because of immodesty that our grandparents had separate bedrooms. It was because as a family unit, people were less productive when each of you had poor sleep. And if you had different sleep patterns, you were each interrupting each other's ability to achieve good sleep, which interrupted the ability to take care of the family, to get up and work on the farm. This was for the survival of the family unit that people had separate bedrooms.
Okay.
Then when we came into play with, it became almost an association with a bad marriage.
Right.
That people who did it stopped telling people. And if you heard about somebody sleeping in separate bedrooms, it became an assumption of something negative.
Okay.
When in reality, the majority of people who sleep in separate bedrooms, unless it's that silly case where you sleep on the couch because you're in trouble, that's not usually it. It's usually your sleep is this way, my sleep is this way, and neither of us wins when we do it together.
So what about those celebrities who have two different houses? They live across from each other.
That's
a different thing.
I don't know if that's the same.
They're like, I don't even want your stuff to touch my stuff. Right. I want my own things. Well, we're talking to Sarah Moe, founder and CEO of Sleep Health Specialists, our polysomnographer. Here we go. I'm just going to keep saying that word. That's my new favorite word for this week. But if we are, let's say we know what we're addicted to. Is there anything else other than getting rid of our cell phones and that blue light, right, that we should stop doing as well, like
or
work
start
on
doing.
Trying to do?
Right. So it's good to have a physical habit to do before bedtime.
Okay.
So for me, I wear an eye mask, and every time I pull my eye mask over my eyes, I can feel my body relax because I've trained my body to say eye mask means sleep,
okay.
Which is great, especially if you travel, because then you can initiate sleep anywhere.
Sure.
That being said, the majority of us are suffering from poor sleep habits. If you just Google it, lucky us, we're in the information era, you can find out what you're doing wrong and even get helpful tips or tricks or things to do to help initiate sleep. None of them are going to be anything you like. Nobody okay. likes to be told, I can't look at my cell phone before bed. Some people think relaxing to Candy Crush right before sleep is what helps put them to sleep, but it's actually detrimental.
Okay.
That being said, there is a percentage of the population who, no matter what you do, it's not going to make an impact because you have a sleep disorder.
Okay.
And that's kind of clutch to know, because nobody thinks, oh, well, I have a sleep disorder, I'm tired, but everybody is tired.
Right.
But 30% of the population has an actual classifiable sleep disorder.
And you said there's how many sleep disorders in general?
Over 100.
Okay.
The main ones, as you've mentioned, most of us have heard of sleep apnea, when you stop breathing at night. And then there's insomnia, restless leg syndrome, narcolepsy. There right. are a few that are more common than others. But if you are tired and you are having good sleep habits, but you're still tired all the time, you might have a sleep disorder. So you should look into that. Talk to your doctor and get a sleep study.
So do you just bring it up to your normal physician? Like, how, yeah. or do you have to, or would they recommend then going to somebody like yourself?
You can call your primary, yep, and say, you know, I'm tired all the time, I would like a sleep study. And they can refer you to an
Because I'm the worst at that. Like, my son's pediatrician brought up having him see a sleep specialist, and I was like, why would I bother? I know he's terrible at sleeping, so what could
because
they possibly tell me?
There are solutions. There really are.
I was like, they're going to tell me he's bad at sleeping. I know he's bad at sleeping.
Yes, but there's treatment.
Okay.
And well, I was going to say, for speaking of treatment, you know, our tendency is to go towards give me a pill.
Correct.
Right? So, and I,
so the cool thing
my family, we don't take any kind of extra right. medicine that we don't need
right.
to, so obviously doing some more healthier stuff on a normal day-to-day, but if that doesn't work and a pill is needed.
Correct.
And talk so a little bit about some of the medications that are available.
There are a lot of sleep disorders that are only going to be treated with medication. When you think about narcolepsy, for example. So narcolepsy has always been portrayed, even in movies, as almost a humorous disorder
right.
where people fall asleep wherever and it's funny, but it's actually a very sad disease because
yeah.
people who suffer from it are able to go from wakefulness into stage REM, and as we learned earlier, in REM our muscles are paralyzed
right.
and that's the reason that they transition from wake into REM and fall, because
yes.
that instant paralyzation is happening, and it's sad because it changes their ability to be in social settings, what
right.
jobs they can have and such. So in an extreme case like that, a medication is going to benefit you in a huge way, in that you're going to be able to interact in a more normal way. But on the flip side, again, the majority of things can be fixed with habit changes, and this isn't something that we're willing to throw a pill at.
Okay.
If you are not able to, let's say you're not sleeping well because of XYZ, it's not good to take a pill to put you to sleep instead of changing those habits. We're
okay.
going to say you need to change these habits first before we even look at giving you anything. But then also, the most prevalent sleep disorder is sleep apnea. And the treatment for that is a CPAP machine.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have heard of CPAP.
I've heard of it, and I hear the commercials all the time. Yep. We have a friend of ours that has one.
Yep.
One of my family members has one.
Mm-hmm. And that's great, because when I started X number of years ago, one hand in the room would raise for
okay.
a person who has CPAP. And now we all know somebody who has a CPAP, which mm-hmm. is great, because most
that sounds miserable too.
Oh,
like, I'm like, to be that way.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I
attached to your face.
Okay,
I feel like I'm okay with that, because to wake up that time and feeling like you can't breathe,
that's
that must be terrible.
Yeah.
Can I tell a quick story? Do we
yes.
have time for
mm-hmm.
a story?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
So back when I was still working overnights doing sleep studies, I had a patient who had severe sleep apnea, and he was mean. He came in, and I'll never forget him. His name was Bob. And most people who come into the sleep lab are crabby because you're
mm-hmm.
tired, and that's understandable. But he was actually mean. He
okay.
was insulting. He wouldn't answer my questions. He'd roll his eyes. And I just thought, I can't wait for him to go to bed.
Right.
But I also knew he was going to have severe sleep apnea, just based on his jaw structure and the fact that he was what we call an awake snorer. Have you ever heard people who breathe like?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's indicative.
I didn't know that was actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I had a term for it.
Yep. So that's a sign of a crowded airway.
Okay.
Which means when you fall asleep, it's even worse because you can't control the structure of your airway.
Right.
So he went to bed and, of course, had immediate severe sleep apnea to the point where he wasn't breathing for 2 minutes at a time.
Oh, goodness.
I had to watch him not breathe for 2 minutes and then wake up going.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yes.
So after a few hours, I went in and I said, okay, Bob, I have to put this little mask on you. It's called CPAP to
mm-hmm.
help you breathe. And he said, I'm not doing it. my wife made me come, and she doesn't know what she's talking about. And I said, well, you only smiled last night when you talked about your family. And he said, so? And I said, so do you want to see your kids graduate from high school? Do you want to see your grandkids walk down the aisle? Do you want to continue to be around for your family? Because it seems like the only thing that makes you happy. Because if you don't put this thing on, you won't be here.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And he thought about it for a few minutes, and then he said he would try it. I'll just try it for a minute. So I put the mask on, put him back to bed, and I went back in the back room, and he fell asleep.
Right.
So to fast forward this, I had to change out his masks 3 different times because then his mouth opened and I had to put on a different one. And then it started leaking because he had a big bushy beard.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
I ended up shaving his beard in the middle of the night to get this mask to seal to his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally did. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, he fell asleep and he slept until 7 o'clock in the morning without having any apneas.
Wow.
So I went in the room in the morning and I took the little mask off and I said, how are you feeling? And he looked me dead in the eyes and he started bawling.
Oh.
He was heaving sobs, and he couldn't – he was hysterical. And I started crying, too, and I sat with him, and I just put my arm around him. And when he finally finished crying, he wiped his face, and he said, I can't believe I feel this way. I haven't felt this way since I was a child. And he kept making this motion with his hands towards his body because he hadn't achieved restful sleep his entire life. And after 5 hours of wearing a machine that held his airway open so he could get the air that he needed and his body could breathe the way it was supposed to or that it was meant to, he was a different person.
Sarah, you are creating miracles. You are creating miracles. So how do they find you at Sleep Health Specialists?
You can just go to the website, www.sleeps.com. And then, yeah, we've got contact forms and... yeah, hit us up. We're here to help.
Well, we are going to be part of that. And Jayton, I'm going to hold you accountable this year.
I'll be after you.
I'm going to work on my sleep debt.
Perfect. Perfect. And so, Sarah, we're going to have you come on again soon. I'm sure we have other things that you can geek out about with us. So, and we are all going to try and sleep better out there in the world.
I'm going to go to sleep after this right now.
Just make sure I'm caught up
on all of them.
So we encourage you to do that. We also encourage you to find out more about the Twin Cities Film Fest by going to TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. If there's something you'd like us to talk about on Be Our Geek, we're very easy to find. You can go to Be Our Geek on Facebook and Twitter and hit us up. And hopefully we'll be awake for that. So in the meantime, we appreciate you joining us. On behalf of myself and Jayton Satia, we will see you next time on Be Our Geek, because everyone is a geek about something.